Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, as I said, I'm Jess. I'm a corporate attorney. Please don't hold that against me. I live in the I live in the suburban wilds of Massachusetts, and I share my living space, my life, with a finance geek, a very sassy 6-year-old, and two dogs that I've named after Bond characters. They're Moneypenny, and the lesser-known villain Fiona. She's from Thunderball.
Oh my God, I love this so much. And so, so you're a corporate attorney, but you're also a writer. So tell us your journey to writing.
Yeah. So it's been a long journey. I decided initially in the fifth grade, after I won a writing contest, that I would be a writer because it was so lucrative, because I had just won this giant pumpkin for this Halloween contest. So I figured, you know, writing would be the way to go, which paired very nicely. Because I was a huge book nerd, you know, from like 5 onward, and I grew up on all the best stuff in the library. I like to think I grew up in the golden age of reading, but, you know, it was John Bellaire Mysteries, Benicula, The Babysitter's Club, Sweet Valley High, R.L. Stine, Christopher Pike. I just couldn't get enough of it. And for me, I never lost that love of books. My first job, I was a children's librarian at 15 and a half. I worked at indie bookstores, and then some not so indie bookstores. And I did that through high school and college. And then it came time to try to figure out, you know, what to do with writing. I majored in creative writing and English. And I ultimately decided to go into the law because I loved writing and I loved the technical aspects of it as well. So today I'm a contract nerd. I love bringing deals to life on paper. That's sort of my thing. And then about a decade ago, I started writing urban fantasy, which was my real love at the time. And I got all these super nice rejection letters from agents and publishers like, "Oh, we love your writing. We just can't sell urban fantasy." So that was a big woof. and this whole time I had gone to college in Maine and went to Colby, and I spent all my summers in New Hampshire. And I had this idea sort of percolating in the back of my head about, you know, writing about this small, like quirky little town where everyone is obsessed with Shakespeare. And from there, these characters started to take shape, the Barnes women, and they are all named for Shakespearean heroines. So it's Miranda from The Tempest, it's Portia from The Merchant of Venice, and Cordelia from King Lear. And that's how I started writing for the love of the Bard. And it took me about 6 months to write it, a little bit longer to edit it. I found my agent, Maggie. She's local in Boston, and she's like this modern day Valkyrie in the best sense of the word. Then less than a year after that, she got me with Kate in Berkeley, and here we are. My debut is in June, which is so weird to think about, but so exciting.
That is very exciting. So tell us about For the Love of Bard. What is the other writer pitch?
Yes. So I will let you know, in trying to come up with the elevator pitch, Laura, I was having like this hive moment of like, how am I going to describe it in a single sentence? And here's what I came up with. So I'm calling it Former Flames and Lifelong Theater Nerds Get a Second Chance at Love in Their Shakespearean Obsessed Hometown. Right? That's not terrible, that elevator pitch. And I really wrote this one for all of like the theater nerds, dog lovers, and people who believe in second chances, or, you know, also people who just want to feel comfortable in their own skins, because that's Miranda. She's this lit agent. She's very successful, but she's also a writer, and she writes under this pen name because she doesn't want to take the heat from, she writes a young adult, and she doesn't want to take the heat from her rabid teen fans or critic. And, you know, when she was in high school, she was this theater nerd, and she fell for Adam. And he was the baseball star, so it was the golden child, who had sort of a secret thing for musicals. And anyway, he does her wrong in a big way on prom night in a twist involving Miranda's big sister, Portia. And so when Miranda finds herself coming home to Bard's Rest, she's in a writer's block bind. She's trying to finish her latest novel. She runs into Adam, and she's not exactly thrilled to see him, to put it mildly. And kind of their meet cute, or, you know, reunion cute, which is not cute at all. They're reunited because Miranda's dog, Puck, he eats like this massive amount of chocolate when she's not looking. And she, right? I'm a huge dog person. And she ends up at the vet's office for this late night emergency. And lo and behold, Adam's the vet, which, you know, if you read this, it makes a lot of sense because the man is basically like a Labrador retriever in human form. So, you know, it goes from there, and they keep crossing paths in the town because they've both been roped into volunteering for the festival. Miranda's directing Twelfth Night. Adam's doing the sets. And the sparks start to fly, and the Shakespearean puns, you know, are also flying there. And, you know, for me, this one was about finding out, you know, can you really trust someone who did a number on your heart again? And I personally like to read, and I like to write fully formed adult characters who aren't like less somehow because they're single. So Miranda and Adam, when you meet them, they're not moping around all over the place. Like, they're both driven, they're successful, like their careers. But when they cross paths again, there's something that still sort of sings between them. And I think that really plays nicely with the whole Shakespearean, you know, arc of you explore the fate and, you know, what pushes and pulls characters back to one another. So that's a very long elevator pitch.
That's a great way to sell the book. So the whole point of the elevator pitch is selling the book. So basically, the listeners now, I'm like, okay, why would we need to buy it?
You know? Right? It has a dog in it.
I need to know the story. I'm loving this journey. First of all, reunion cue with dog eating chocolate. You know, it's just, it sells itself. And so... So, all right. So you mentioned you were loving your urban fantasy. So, and then you wrote a romance, it could be a contemporary romance, it could be a rom-com. What was your journey to romance or urban fantasy? Was it with love stories, or was it just straight up urban fantasy?
My two loves stack up. So I don't ever read rom-coms when I'm writing them. I'm so afraid of the bleed, you know, between, you know, your writing and something amazing you've read. So while I do binge rom-coms for the few weeks a year I'm not actively writing or editing, I'm a huge Jen DeLuca fan. I love me some Renaissance Fair rom-com, like serve it up nerdy. That's my favorite. But otherwise, like, my reading really falls into two categories. And the first one for me was I read a ton of mysteries, but like a very specific vein of them. I need the Agatha Christie formula because that's what I grew up in, and that's what we had at our local library. So for me, it's exotic locale, a bunch of complex characters, very shady, the rising body count, and then a plot twist that has to feel earned, like has to feel really earned as a reader, where you might not have figured it out, but you're like, ooh, that's so good when you read it. So for modern writers, for me, that's Ruth Ware, that's Lucy Foley, like, love this genre. Not a ton of romance, as you might imagine, but more of that, yeah, in urban fantasy. And I read urban fantasy. I picked up urban fantasy when I was a teenager, although I'm not sure it was called urban fantasy at the time, but I love series, and I get so attached to characters, and I love watching them, like, grow and evolve over multiple books. And I feel like urban fantasy is that genre that really lends itself to this, right? Because authors are always like reinventing their characters and giving them new challenges. So, you know, give me a wizard in Chicago, give me a skinwalker in New Orleans, and I'm your person. And then I think the gold standard for me, Laura, is Shauna McGuire. And she writes the October Day series, and she works like fae folklore, right? Into this very cool modern San Fran landscape. And I don't know what it is about these books. And I found October Day a little bit later. I found her while I was pregnant and sort of dealing with my own identity, be like, oh my God, I'm going to be a mom. It's just kind of weird. And I think Toby is just one of these characters, like, you grow with her, you feel her heartbreak. I mean, Shauna McGuire never spares Toby, right? She's this hero of the realm, and she's always, you know, making these sacrifices and grappling with her own humanity. I just, and also she's hilarious. So that's sort of the gold standard of urban fantasy for me is the Toby Day series. And then interestingly, every one of the titles in the series is a quote from William Shakespeare. So we've come full circle.
Oh my God, just like full circle.
Yes, full circle. Yes, full circle back to that. But yeah, there's always like an element of romance in those. And, you know, I did read some paranormal romances, and maybe that was kind of the stepping stone to, for me, urban fantasy. I think, you know, the nuance there to being successful is that word building, that gorgeous, like world building, but like not bogging the readers down in it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like rom-coms, there's some nice like parallels where you're trying to build that world. It's a lot different. But a lot of it is so much on characters. And I find that so much more fun to write is this sort of this concept of it's lighthearted and it's all going to turn out fine and come along for the journey. We're all going to be fine here. So that's what I really like about it.
Yes, I love this. And so what are you working next?
I'm writing the second book in Bard's Rest. It is the big sister, Portia, who is a bit of a, you know, a prickly character in this one with Miranda. And a lot of this book is sort of the middle sister and the big sister kind of working things out. Like they had not left things on the best terms. And Portia is a completely different nut to crack than Miranda. She's a lawyer. She's incredibly driven, and she's about to take the role of a lifetime. She's going to manage this new office. But the trick is she has to take a summer sabbatical. So for somebody who actively like loathes taking vacations, this woman finds herself back in her hometown in the summer, surrounded by a bunch of Shakespearean obsessed fans, which is not really her vibe. And then as she, you know, she starts to settle back into the town, she meets Benjamin Dane, and he's sort of this hotshot developer who's sniffing around sort of the key locales of the town, like in, you know, he may or may not be developing tacky condos. So the book is called The Dane of My Existence, because he's Benjamin Dane. And it's really this setup between the two of them for sort of the future of the town. And I think, you know, the future of Portia, right? So I've been working on that, turned my draft, and I feel so good. And hopefully that will be out sometime next year.
Congratulations on turning your draft. Like, that's a big feat.
Thank you.
So what is it like to write under contract in comparison to write before contract? Because I feel like that's like a whole different ball game.
So interestingly, as part of this thing at work, we just had to take our Myers-Briggs personality test.
Yeah.
And I found out, not surprisingly, I'm an INTJ. I'm very introverted. But one of my metrics is I love to plan things in advance. Like I'm a total plotter. But then I was right in the median of this person who hits the highs of, oh my gosh, you have 3 weeks to finish this book. And you get this sort of like, you kick into turbo gear, and I fall right in the middle of the, I love all the planning, but sometimes when I'm writing in the beginning, I feel myself like plodding along and being a little bit luxurious. And then when you start to realize like, oh good Lord, this is due in a month to your editor, and you get that like extra, like all of a sudden things kind of clarify for you, plot twists sort of unravel themselves, and you're like, ah, it was right here. It was right here the whole time. So I like it, but I'm not going to pretend it's not incredibly stressful. I enjoy it, but it's very stressful.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Yeah, it's a sweet spot between it's a pressure to do it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate the pressure to do it. It's a love hate relationship.
Yes.
Sometimes,
you know. Yes, you're like, I hate this deadline. I need this deadline.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Jessica, tell us where you can find you online.
Yes. So you should know about me. I loathe social media, but I've been told by my publishing team, like, this is a thing. So I am most active on Instagram. I'm at CJessWriteBooks. Very, very creative there. And fun fact there, I don't ever post pictures of myself. So if you go to my Instagram, you're going to meet my little Shakespearean avatar. It's the Bard, and he's having loads of fun all over social media. But he's my thing. He's my compromise for being on social media. And then my website is jessicamartinbooks.com, and you can find a lot of cool stuff there. And fun fact there, it's designed by this woman-owned shop called Orange Custard, and I learned so much about sort of the, you know, the development process. I'm now obsessed with it. I'm terrible with tech, but I am now sort of fascinated with the construction of websites.
Oh my gosh, I love this. And I love the name of the name of the company, Orange Custard. I'm like, that's a good title.
Yeah. Yes. And it's so cool. You like meet these, you get, you know, you meet a photographer, you meet your website developer, and it's just, you find these like pockets of creativity and all these unusual thoughts. And you're like, I didn't know there was, I mean, I sort of knew this, but I didn't know there was this art to tech, right? And when you're putting a website together. So I found myself just like learning and loving to hear about her craft. And so this has been this really cool thing of like, you know, you meet all these different like pockets of talent when you're on this journey to getting a book published.
Yeah, I love this. All right. So thank you, Jessica, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. I really appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit RetroRenexBlog.com. The Retro Renex podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.